Grace is very dangerous. When you come to understand what grace is and how it works, it can lead you to perhaps conclude that it doesn't really matter how I live my life. So what is grace? Grace is unmerited favour. You don't deserve it. You deserve judgment, and yet you're given favour, friendship, acceptance. You deserve perhaps the cold shoulder, and what you receive is an embrace. That is grace. And Paul has been outlining to us, how can we live the gospel in our lives practically, in the everyday decisions, in the everyday actions, in the everyday thoughts that we have every day? How can we live the gospel? Well, first of all, we have to understand the gospel so that we can live it. And the gospel basically is this, that we are completely lost. We are completely adrift. We are completely rebellious. We are completely against God. And yet, we are saved by what?
Grace.
By grace. And how do we get this grace? Do we get this grace because we're attractive, or because of our job, or because we go to church? The answer is no. How is this grace given to us? It is given to us through what? It's through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul has been saying that you're not actually going to heaven, you're not actually entering into a relationship with God because of what you do and who you are. Rather, it's because of who Jesus is and what he has done on your behalf on the cross. So he pays your penalty, and he provides for you all the good works that you can't do. He does them for you. What does that mean? Well, it means this, that in the Perona household, I am the perfect husband and the perfect father because of Christ. When God looks at me, he looks at me as it were, as though I've got like a coat on. It's the Jesus coat. And basically, I can do nothing wrong, and I always do everything that is right. So then you might think to yourselves, well, if that's the case, then the more I sin, the more gracious God has to be towards me. And that would be true. But Paul says, no, don't do that. That's, if you look at 6 verse 1, he asks that very question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says, certainly not. Don't be stupid. How can you continue to sin when you've died to it? And he concludes, if you have a look with me, at Romans 6:14, he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under what? But under grace. So you've died to sin. That means you don't have to do what your heart tells you to do. You don't have to say those angry words when you're provoked by your spouse or by your children or by your siblings or by your work colleagues. You can actually be gracious to them, patient and kind. He's saying that we are no longer under the dominion of sin, but under the new dominion of God and his righteousness. And so he makes this statement that we are no longer under law, but under grace. And now Paul is concerned to make sure that we understand how the law relates to us and how do we relate to the law. Because if we're not under the law, then you might mistakenly make the conclusion that if I'm not under the law, then I can pretty much do whatever I want. Could you see us concluding that? It'd be handy, because then I could not obey, say, for example, the speed limit. That'd be the first thing to go for me. Not in the Jesus van, of course. You'd kill yourself once you got to about 60. But, you know, more unappropriate, you know, like motorbike or something. There'd be lots of things, you know, in fact, if I might be correct when I say this, but a long time ago, I think the police went on strike. I can't remember where that was. It was in Australia. How safe would you feel? Not very, hey. So does it mean that if we're not under the dominion of the law, that we can do whatever we want? This is the very question that Paul asks then in verse 15. He says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? And he says, certainly, certainly not. And so now he's going to bring to our attention our relationship with the law and how that works. And he's going to do that by talking about slavery. So as we get into this, I just want to try to unpack how this works for us at an emotional, spiritual level. Let's work through someone who goes to work. Who could we pick on? What about, can we pick on Ian today? Ian goes to work. I see him sometimes catching the bus and he sees me jogging along. Ian goes to work. Why might Ian go to work? What's the most obvious answer to that? To earn money. Thank you very much. That's good stuff. So Ian goes to work to earn money. So he's serving his employer, providing, he works, and because he works for his employer, he gets money. That's pretty obvious. It's not rocket science. Okay, so why else might Ian work? Because he enjoys it. Is that true? He does enjoy it, yes. He might enjoy it, and because he enjoys it, he does it well. So he might achieve for his company what they're wanting to achieve. He may get a sense of achievement himself at his work, that he's actually able to contribute well. What else might he work for? What else happens at work? When we work, we get money. When we work, we achieve things. What goes with achievement? Recognition, that's right. So if he does well and he achieves as well, he gets to keep his job, if he's lucky, or get his job, or get promoted. He may earn the respect of his colleagues. That may be very important. So when we go to work, speaking more generally now, when we go to work, we're actually serving a number of different things. It's not just about money. It's also about our families, that we want to provide for our families. We do get a sense of achievement. We have a sense of having control, a sense of power, a sense of success. We may develop friendships at work. Since we're there all day, every day, it's pretty hard to be at work if your relationships with your colleagues is pretty poor or if there's fighting. So when we go to work, there's a lot of things that we can be serving. We certainly don't like feeling helpless. We don't like feeling like a loser or a failure or being disliked or being lonely. Now, what Paul wants us to understand is that he wants us to understand that we are always serving a master. There's not any time where you can do anything without serving someone or something. And what Paul wants us to understand is that we are all slaves. We are all spiritual slaves with spiritual masters. And what he wants us to do is to start to recognize, start to realize who is our master, and in what way do we serve our master? He says in verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slave, whom you obey. Now, the idea of presenting oneself, it's a little bit like we've started watching the series The Pacific, and now we're watching Band of Brothers. And when the sergeant calls the troops, they all line up, don't they? And they stand to attention. In other words, what they're doing is they're presenting themselves in their uniform and in their readiness to obey commands from the leadership. Is that not true? So Paul is saying he wants us to realize that in reality, we are spiritual slaves, we have spiritual masters, and he wants us to start to recognize who is the master that we serve. Now, we have several, and sometimes we serve one or the other. When we go to work, who might be our spiritual master? Well, actually, we've done work. Let's pick on something else. We've done shoelaces, we've done ice cream, and I'm pretty sure we haven't done the dishes, right? So let's do the dishes. I think the dishes would be a good one. Because most of us have either done the dishes or avoided doing the dishes, and maybe a bit of both. So, who might be our master when it comes to the topic of the dishes? In our household, how do you think the dishes are done? How do they actually just... If it's going to get done at all as an event... What has to happen first? Mum has to tell them. Yeah, Mum has to tell them. Tell who? The kids. That's right. The husband? No, he never gets told. Because I was smart and I bought a dishwasher a long time ago and that was my contribution to the dishes. Now, we can unpack that out a little bit later, but if you want to pick on me, that's fine. Now, why... Let's unravel this a bit more. Why is it that if the dishes are going to get done at all, why is it that people have to be volunteered? What are some of the... I just want to unpack some of this so that we can get an idea of how do we recognize who we serve. You don't want to do it. Why might people not want to do the dishes?
It's not fun.
Well, it's not fun, okay? Yes. Hands up those, if you're a parent or even a child, hands up those of you who have heard that line. I did it last night. Yeah, everybody. Like, it's amazing to me that every member of the household did the dishes last night. I'm pretty sure that wasn't the case. I did it last night. So it's not fun. I feel like I don't have to do it because I've done it last night. Oh, that's really... Okay. I like that. I've never thought of that line before. Roz is saying that, well, you only used a few of the dishes... So you feel like you really only need to wash your dishes rather than everybody's dishes. That's an interesting window into someone's heart. About service, I mean. I'm not picking on you. I really think that was a good contribution. It's like, okay, so it's just about me and my obligations. Yeah. Ah, yes. I was really hoping that one would come. Particularly those people who share houses like Alicia and Michelle. The one who cooks, it's just the universal principle, isn't it? I'm sure, you know, if we went back 2,000 years to Rome, you know, hubby would say, oh, well, I cooked, you have to do the dishes. So if you cook, you don't have to do the dishes, okay? So there's another reason why you don't have to do the dishes. Someone said that it wasn't fun, but that's an interesting idea because the dishes aren't fun, so we don't do them. But I'm pretty sure that my kids, even though they're not doing the dishes, aren't doing anything that's fun anyway. So it's not like they're making the choice between playing the Nintendo and doing the dishes. It's like doing the dishes and lying on the couch doing nothing. I wouldn't have thought lying on the couch was fun. So there's an aversion to doing work, is what I'm saying. Isn't there? Yeah. So if I've got a theory. With vandalism, you know how we get our bus stops smashed and stuff? I think we should pay them to do that. And they wouldn't do it anymore. Don't you think? There's a mentality there. So we don't like to work. We like to do what's fun. And we back that up, don't we, with lots of reasons. Like, I cooked, I did it last night. So that's just the event. Let's unpack how the dishes are done. That's just getting it. We've just talked about getting the dishes done. Who am I serving when I say I did it last night? Myself. But what specifically am I trying to guard? My comfort, my ease, my own sense of, like, I don't want to work, I just want to take it easy. So my master then is my own comfort, my own pleasure. So I want to, the idea in my mind is I want to avoid work. So anyone that does work, there are people who work, and what they do is they will do the least amount of work to get their wage and get away with it. Is that not true? Don't you see that in the workforce? You do what you're meant to do and only that. You don't do extra. Why would you do that? That shows something about our own hearts, doesn't it? That we're really in it just for me and my own comfort. Okay. So the dishes are getting done. How are the dishes done? What? There's different grades of quality, aren't there? Oh, complaining, yes. So the dishes can be done and there's kind of like, you know, this, if it was an odour, it wouldn't smell very nice, would it? Complaining is not very nice. Okay, so they get done, but they're not put away. Or they get done, and they're still dirty, thank you very much. They get done, and they're not dried. They get done, and the bench is still dirty. And then you wonder, as a parent, as an adult, why you are so tired at the end of the day. Because all we've done is taken what? We're talking about maybe a 10 or 15 minute window of our day, and we've got the conflict of getting the task done. Then we have to check to see if it's been done properly, by which time nearly all of the kids have been vaporized into nothingness, like they're gone, they're hidden, they disappear. So if it's going, you know, who ends up fixing it all up? Yeah, that's right. Not me, Michelle. Because remember, I bought the dishwasher, which is, you know, just a cop-out, isn't it? So we get complaining. What other emotions can we have? There are other odours that aren't very pleasant. There's complaining. Yeah, irritation, which is like, you know, you can get anger. So they're doing the dishes and they're fighting. Because they don't want to do them. So they're angry that they're having to do them. And so they're going to fight about it. They're going to fight with each other about, you know, that's not clean or that's not dry or whatever. They can usually just try and switch off, which is a cop-out. So I my master is comfort, ease, pleasure. So given the opportunity then, so if we said, okay, we're going to play the Nintendo, but someone has to volunteer to do the dishes, that's just like a no-brainer, isn't it? And so it exposes then, who do I serve? Who is my master? And Paul is saying, you are all slaves to the one that you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Now, kids, here's a tip. Or husbands or wives, whichever one doesn't usually do the dishes. Imagine the utter shock, horror, consternation, bewilderment that would happen if you just did the dishes. Imagine that. Like, you know the dishes have to be done, and more than likely you're going to be asked to do the dishes. So imagine if you actually did the dishes without complaining. What might happen? That's not helpful, Dan. That is not helpful. Dan said you'd get asked to do everything else.
That's the long term.
That's the long term. That says a lot about you, Dan. That's interesting strategy. So you gotta drag the chain on everything, otherwise you'll end up doing too much. Now, what might happen if you did the dishes voluntarily? Yes, it would be pretty amazing. So you'd get, I personally think it would at least help. When you do the dishes and you do it with someone, what can happen there? You can talk. And some people like doing the dishes, or doing the dishes in their family is a great thing because it's time spent together. And you can talk. You're doing something. You're achieving something together. You are family. You are serving. It takes humility, doesn't it? It takes a servant's heart to do the dishes, even though you did them the night before and the night before and the night before, and there's someone in your family that hasn't done them, avoids them, and continues to avoid them. Well, who cares? If you're serving Christ, if you're doing the dishes for Jesus, then that's who you're doing it for. Because if you're doing it for Jesus and for your family, then that's who you're doing it for. You're not doing it to get one up on someone else. You're not doing it for your own praise and your own pride. You're just doing it. So the dishes can reveal to us who is our master, who do we serve. And so the reason why I've spent so much time trying to unpack this is that I want you to start thinking about some of your daily activities and start thinking about, well, what does it say about me? Who am I serving? Does it lead to life? Or does it lead to death? You know, dragging the chain, being asked to toll, grumbling and complaining. That's all death. But if you do it willingly, then you'll be a sweet aroma, a sweet fragrance in your home. In verse 17, Paul says that every single one of us, we were once slaves of sin. We were once doing our own thing, looking for our own comfort, looking for our own pleasure. And yet, we came to faith in Jesus Christ as we've described before. We believe in Jesus Christ for our salvation. We've been delivered from this. And so, you don't have to avoid doing the dishes. It's actually good for you to do the dishes for Jesus Christ and for your family. And in verse 18, Paul basically makes this pronouncement that you have been set free from sin. When this happened, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Slaves of doing what is right for God. Like willingly doing the dishes. Or other chores that you have set in your family. So when you're a slave, When do you have to do what you're told? All the time. But what about if you don't feel like it? Doesn't matter. What about if someone's playing the Nintendo? That's got to be an exception. Or what about if we stop picking on kids and the husband is spending time on the computer instead of doing the dishes? So when are we slaves to God? Part-time? Full-time? Full-time. So God wants us to be patient, to be kind, to be gracious, to be forgiving when we feel like it, right? No. He wants us to do those things in times when we least feel like it, in times when we find it the most hard to do. You've just put in a full-on day at work, you cook tea, you want to put your feet up, you want to read the paper, you want to watch the news, but you do the dishes for Christ. No one thanks you. Does that matter? No, shouldn't. Because who are you serving? Are you doing it to be thanked? Are you doing it for you, or are you doing it for Christ? You know, when Jesus hung on the cross, no one thanked him. They were scorning him. They were abusing him. But we're thankful now. So, I hope it's taken a while, but I hope that in some small way you will have been equipped with the ability to assess, okay, who am I serving at the moment? When I get on the bus, do I push to the front of the line so that I make sure I get on and I get the seat that I want? Or do I consider the people who are there? What is it? Everything you do says something about your loyalty. It says something about who you're serving. And my encouragement is, let's start paying attention to that. And let's start pushing ourselves for Christ, being slaves for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to do the dishes, but without a grumbling, whinging, wish I didn't have to do this. Help us to be willing to be more careful about what we do and what we say, being more aware of who we're serving. Because, Lord, we have faith in you, and you have delivered us, and you've made us your slave. And so help us to use the freedom we have from sin, from selfishness, from pride, from anxiety. Help us to use our liberty for Jesus by doing things like the dishes, by letting people on the bus, by going, you know, maybe working back at work, or working harder at work and not looking at Facebook, or not just chit-chatting on the phone, but getting on with what we have to do. In Jesus' name, amen.